On the edge of the Black Forest, somewhere between Russia and Poland, and occasionally Germany, is a small Jewish village called Chelm. 80 or so houses, more chickens than people. The village is a community of laughter and love. Arguments, complaints, reconciliations, more complaints. Yes, there are problems. As wise Rabbi Kibitz says, well, what would life be without problems? It might be nice for a little while. Welcome to Izzy Abramson's The Village Life. I'm your host, Mark Binder, and I'm glad to be here. A little vocabulary. The word Reb means Mr., and to schwitz is to perspire. Over the years, lots of people have asked, what's with the round village square, and how did the village get the name of Chelm? Izzy was digging around in the attic when he found some papers and discovered the story of the village with the round square. Nothing is normal in the village. Most communities are named after people, events, or features of landscape. This one was named after an expectoration. Many years ago, a clump of Jews who were traveling to find a place to build their homes got lost in the Black Forest. Some say they went in circles, but who could tell? Every tree looked the same. The Schwarzwald held them captive for so long, they lost track of time. Rabbi Kibitz's great-great-grandfather, who was also called Rabbi Kibitz, was sick of it. "I'm not Moses," the great man complained. "I've got a cold, and I can't wander for 40 years." With that, he sneezed, and a wad of phlegm the size of a small child's fist shot out of his nose and landed with a splotch on a wide oak tree. "There," he pointed, "that tree will be the front door to our synagogue." And the sound that the great man's great sneeze made was so profound, it was immortalized forever as the village's name, Chelm. The phlegm oak tree was huge, and slicing it into a door took time. The founding fathers, mothers, and children needed a place to stay, so more trees were cleared to the north. A well was dug at the top of a small hill, and then Reb Steinberg established a bakery. It may seem strange in these modern times to put such a value on bagels, rye, and challah, but the villagers knew that if prisoners could survive on only bread and water, so could they. Fortunately, the Schimmel family had brought along 4 cows, so soon there was butter and cheese. The next problem was sewage. The temporary tents were crowded around the well, and, like water, other things run downhill. Nobody wanted the synagogue to smell like a cesspool, but the village elders refused to take responsibility for planning. "If we tell people where to live," said Reb Goldberg, "next, they'll want streets and streetlights." "Exactly," said Lottie Levitsky, Reb Levitsky's wife, who was small and young, but spoke with authority. "I've been to Vienna. And it's clean, because they build their sewers underground. To do that, we need streets. But as soon as you have streets, you need streetlights, and with streetlights, you need police," squeaked Reb Goldberg, who wasn't used to women speaking up on important issues. "What do streetlights have to do with police?" Lottie Levitsky demanded. "Without lights, thieves can't see well enough to steal anything valuable," Reb Goldberg explained patiently. "And if they did, the police couldn't chase them." "What if we only have 1 streetlight, Lottie Levitsky suggested. "It will still be too dark for thieves, but if any show up, the police will know where to start looking." It was a brilliant compromise. But then, as Reb Goldberg had feared, arguments began about who should live on which streets and where. "Enough!" shouted Reb Cantor, a skinny man who dreamed of opening a small store. "All the streets will come off the square, which will be in the middle of the village. The well will be in the middle of the square. The synagogue will be at the south, the bakery to the east. Since the road from Smyrna comes in from the north, I will build my shop to the west." "Who made you mayor?" Reb Goldberg demanded. "It makes sense," Lottie Levitsky said. "That way, nobody will have to walk around the synagogue to come in the front door, and the baker, who has to get up before sunrise, will be able to sleep a little later." All the women, and many of the men, nodded. "But how big a square?" Reb Goldberg demanded. "Big enough for all of our animals to have a place to graze," proposed Reb Schimmel. "You're the only one with cows," Reb Goldberg and Reb Steinberg shouted simultaneously. The two men smiled at each other. "Stop making mountains," Lottie Levitsky shouted. "There are no mountains here." A vote was taken, and Berg, which means mountain, was immediately stripped from the Steinberg, Goldberg, and Bergman families. The Golds and Steins were fine with this, but the newly renamed Reb Mann was so outraged that he packed his belongings and moved to America. There, it was said, he planted a vineyard and began making a wine so sweet it made you schwitz, which was later nicknamed Manischewitz. All that was left was to determine the size of the square. With a long rope, measurements were taken from the well to the bakery and the well to the stump of the synagogue's sneeze tree, which had yet to be dug up. The distances were identical, which the rabbi declared a miracle. But after Reb Cantor did some drawing on a piece of parchment, he declared that there was a geometrical problem. "None of us is a good enough carpenter to make the door to the synagogue on a corner, and there is no such thing as a village round." It was too bad that Reb Mann had already left, because he would have enjoyed the arguments. They went on and on and on until just before dinner time, when Lottie Levitsky came up with another brilliant compromise. An advertisement that the new village was looking for a carpenter would be placed in the Yiddish newspaper. And in the meantime, the roads surrounding the commons in the center of the village would be laid out in a circle, but the place itself would be called a square. "Won't a round square confuse people?" wondered Reb Gold. "Of course it will," Lottie Levitsky said, "but we villagers will all know the truth, and anyone who asks for directions must be a stranger." They looked around. Of course they looked around, because you can't look a square. And the twinkle in Lottie's eyes spread to become smiles and grins on the faces of everyone in the village. Such a delicious way to recognize who was or was not a member of the community. A chelmoner is someone who you cannot corner. Suddenly, they had a new saying, perhaps a village motto. And although this was not the most stringent test of citizenship, in the village called Chelm, it made everyone feel happy and welcome. The end. We hope you enjoyed listening to The Village with a Round Square by Izzy Abramson. If you did, we know you'll enjoy reading and listening to all the books in Izzy Abramson's The Village Life series. Look for Winter Blessings, A Village Romance, The Village Twins, and more. You can purchase these at reasonable prices wherever books and audiobooks are sold. Also, please take a moment to help us spread the word about this podcast and about Izzy Abramson's Village Life. Tell your friends, family, and even your enemies. Post it on social and share. As Mrs. Heipel often says, the village life is like rye bread. You don't need to be Jewish to enjoy the flavor. Please sign up for our newsletter at izzyabe.com, and thanks so much. Izzy Abramson's The Village Life is produced by Light Publications. Narration by Mark Binder. Music by Fischl Bresler. Occasional harmonica by Izzy Abramson. Audio engineering by Stephen Brendan. recorded at Pembroke Villa Studios in Providence, Rhode Island. This work is copyright 2021 by Mark Binder and Izzy Abramson, all rights reserved. Thank you very much for listening. Have an excellent day.